What? What? What?
I know how we can run everybody out of Rock Ridge.
How?
We'll kill the firstborn male child in every household.
Too Jewish.
Shalom, and welcome to the Too Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Cohen and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. For our very special 13th anniversary show today, we'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning on Too Jewish is Yitzhar Hess, president and CEO of the Masorti Conservative Movement in Israel, and one of our very first regular guest commentators on Too Jewish. We'll also have a visit from our Too Jewish expert on the international scene, Tom Price, and our Mevina on Israel, Oshrat Barel. Please email your comments to us at TooJewishRadio18@gmail.com or visit us on the web at TooJewishRadio.com. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Cohen and Too Jewish.
Shalom. This is a very special morning here on Too Jewish when we celebrate the 13th anniversary of the Too Jewish Radio Show. It's our bar mitzvah show, if you will, and it's more than a little hard to believe. We've been providing the finest in Jewish radio experience for 13 years now. And to celebrate, we've invited a special guest for an appropriate presentation for a bar mitzvah show.
My name is John Stewart. We got a big show for you tonight, but I'd like to begin it by reciting my Haftorah.
You see, on his bar mitzvah, a boy chants his Haftorah, a section from the prophets, and John Stewart is Jewish, and on his bar mitzvah, he too chanted his Haftorah, and, well, okay, he's not actually here. Anyway, it's our 13th anniversary show, so there are certain traditions we must uphold. Bar mitzvah or not, in celebration of having done 681 editions of Too Jewish dating back to August of 2002, we are now officially ready for a champagne toast to get us going. As we pour the bubbly, L'chaim for everything Jewish and interesting, brought to you weekly right here on the radio. When we began Too Jewish 13 years ago, our goal was to reach out, entertain and intrigue anyone and everyone who might be interested in Jewish life, ethics, culture, contemporary events, Torah, history, Israel, music, film, books, food, art, holidays, humor, anything and everything Jewish. Too Jewish was designed for Jews of all denominations and flavors, of course, but it was also created to help people who aren't Jewish to learn about and be inspired and influenced by the fabulous religion and culture of Judaism. By exploring all aspects of Jewish life and living, without limiting ourselves to just one movement or ethnic or national aspect, we hope to explain what Judaism really is in the 21st century, which was a much newer century when we began than it is now. In many ways, that means explaining what it has been for nearly 4,000 years and continues to be today and for the foreseeable future. As Fiddler on the Roof taught, it's tradition. So on this Too Jewish Radio Show, we intended to explain, teach, celebrate, and joke about Jewish tradition and make it referable to our very discerning radio audience. Bring Jewish tradition to the world, broadly, intelligently, and humorously, and see what happened. But you know, a funny thing happened on the way to the airwaves. We discovered that contemporary Jewish life is about much more than tradition. It's also, consistently, about innovation. New and exciting things are happening everywhere in the Jewish world, just about all the time. Judaism is very much about the process of engaging this great tradition with the best of contemporary life on a constant basis. It is this dynamic process, the continuing evolution of our 3,800-year-old religion into something fresh and new, that's at the heart of Jewish survival and ongoing development. And that has made creating Too Jewish each and every week for 13 solid years a continual surprise and an ongoing delight. But some traditions must be maintained. One of those is enjoying the best of classic Jewish music. So to play us in on this celebratory morning, we will enjoy our now, well, very classic, but always new and exciting at the same time, Shehechianu, the prayer for new and happy occasions, by Meir Machtenberg, sung by a past Too Jewish guest, cantor Alberto Mizrahi. Blessed are you, God, who gives us life, sustains us, and brings us to such a happy occasion. That was from the CD by the Western Winds, Abe Mizrahi singing Shehechianu, the prayer thanking God for celebrations like our 13th anniversary bar mitzvah show of Too Jewish. And while I'm profoundly grateful to God for health and the ability to teach, explore, and enjoy the amazing diversity of Judaism every week on the air here, I am most grateful to you, our faithful listening audience, because you are what makes this show go and grow and flourish. You and our sponsors. Now, when we began doing this in 2002, the world was a very different place. Not necessarily a better one, but different. And I'm pretty darn certain we never thought we'd be doing this same thing, more or less, 13 years later. Maybe we've gotten better. Perhaps we've grown up a bit, like bar mitzvah kids tend to. Maybe not. When we return in a few moments here on Too Jewish, we will meet our guest, only not for the first time. It's an old friend from our very first years on the show. Yizhar Hess was the shliach, the representative of Israel here in Tucson, Arizona, where I live. He is now the president and CEO of the Masorti Conservative Movement in Israel, which has big things going on right now. Find out what they are when we come back in a few moments right here on Too Jewish.
Everything you ever wanted to know about Judaism but were afraid to ask. Temple Emmanuel's famous Taste of Judaism program, now in its 16th year, offers an exploration of Judaism in 3 2-hour sessions on Jewish spirituality, values, and community, taught by our rabbis. Call 327-4501 for more information and to register today. Taste of Judaism is an exciting opportunity to learn about Jewish culture, history, rituals, and practice. The classes are free and open to all, and we feed you too. too. We have daytime and evening classes in Central, Northwest, and East Tucson, and this year in Suarita as well. In partnership with the Tucson Hebrew Academy, the whole family can learn at the Taste of Judaism family class. And we're thrilled to offer American Sign Language Interpretation, ASL, for one of the sessions. Remember, there are no fees or obligations, but space is limited and pre-registration is required. Call Mila at 327-4501 or email mila@templeemmanueltucson.org. That's Taste of Judaism, 520-327-4501, a fun way to learn about Judaism. Don't miss it.
My name is John Ben Asher, and I'm the head of school at the Tucson Hebrew Academy. Tucson Hebrew Academy is a pluralistic kindergarten through eighth grade Jewish day school. We foster educational excellence through an interdisciplinary, integrated general studies and Judaic curriculum. We teach our students to apply Jewish values and learning to everyday life, enabling them to make their community and the world a better place. Our engaging, talented faculty ensure a rigorous, interactive, supportive learning environment. From the early years through comprehensive high school prep, children thrive in THA's uniquely enriching educational community and culture. Our 41-year tradition of excellence continues to produce highly skilled, critical, and creative thinking students with a strong moral compass and deep understanding of Jewish identity, traditions, and values, well prepared for the challenges to come. Tucson Hebrew Academy, thaaz.org, 529-3888.
We are delighted to welcome back the Two Jewish. An old friend, Yizhar Hess, is the president and CEO of the Masorti Conservative Movement in Israel. He was formerly the Shliach here in Tucson, Arizona, and is a great representative of Israel, and in particular in advocating for the conservative movement, we would call it here. They call it the Masorti traditional movement in Israel. Good morning and welcome to Two Jewish. This is our 13th anniversary show, by the way.
Shalom, Rabbi. It's a pleasure being with Two Jewish again and with you again. I remember the first days.
You were there.
Yes.
it's really fantastic to have you back. I thought it would make for a special reunion. Besides all the nice things, tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Masorti movement in Israel right now.
Well, Israel now is facing a change, I think, from the within with regard to the way Jews in Israel identify themselves. We see in the last decade growing numbers of Jews who identify with the Reform Movement and with the Masorti Conservative Movement in a way we never experienced before. And sometimes it's not a given that it's happening because of the fact that in Israel there is such a tie bond between state and religion, and the streams that are not Orthodox are not recognized, are not funded by the government, and in spite of it, we see growing numbers that would like to learn more and to participate and to join, which is a very interesting phenomena, and I'm proud to be part of it.
It's really quite remarkable. I remember the first time I went to Israel, I was 15. Nobody knew anything about conservative or Reform Judaism. When I went back again over the decades, it still seemed like nobody knew very much about Reform or conservative Judaism. But I think this long process is finally beginning to make an impact on the Israeli public in a very dramatic way. What changed, do you think?
I think that two things changed. One, the Orthodox coercion made people think. And when the frustration grew, I think that people were looking to some more options. People wanted to experience the fact that there is more than one way to be Jewish. Secondly, for 20 years now, there are each year about 2,000 young and bright Israelis that are coming to the United States of America to be counselors in camps. And the experience of camp, as we all know, is a significant experience in one's identity. And when they come back to Israel, it's not weird anymore to see a woman with a talit or to feel that Judaism can be egalitarian, even in shul, even in temple, and even in synagogue. It is something that became more natural. So the message slowly came to Israel with infrastructure that was built I think started to build seriously after in the late 70s when some leaders of reform and conservative movements made Aliyah to Israel, and now this infrastructure is serving the growing number of Israelis that are formulating their own congregations, kehilot.
We will talk much more with Yizhar Hess, the CEO of the Masorti Conservative Movement and a guest commentator for several years in our first years on Too Jewish, and we continue with this 13th anniversary show in just a few moments. Now I want to express my thanks. As president of the Kohan Memorial Foundation, I'm glad and grateful that the modest cash awards we started with some 10 years ago have grown into a rather substantial amount with the help of donors like many of you. The Kohan Foundation, named for my grandparents, Rabbi Samuel S. Kohan and A. Irma Kohan of blessed memory, makes these awards for important service to Klal Yisrael, the whole Jewish people. That service can be in one of four areas: unity, education and information, creative arts, or rescue. Our past award winners include some truly amazing people, and we are grateful for the chance to reward them and their fine work. Do you know of someone who could qualify for a Kohan Award in 2015? Or will you consider participating in this work yourself? Please go to our website, www.kohanaward.com, KohanAward.com, where you can find all the information on nominating and on participating in this great work. And we'll be glad to hear from you. Our goal is to help people who work for the whole Jewish people. We welcome David and Pam of Freedom Smoke. Tell us about your product, Freedom Smoke.
Hello, Rabbi Kohan. A pleasure to be here again. Electronic cigarette industry has been around for years. Our product, one of the best things that we've done to improve it, is the base ingredients for our product are brought in from outside of this country. The only place in the world certified kosher.
Kosher, smokeless, no tobacco, and a variety of health advantages. Do you have a lot of former smokers that have kind of quit because of Freedom Smoke?
Absolutely. We have several people who have written to us as well as told us on a personal basis.
How many flavors are there of what you sell?
Over 700.
And when people walk in the store and they don't know what to do, what do you tell them?
We start them off by finding out what they smoke and how much they smoke. We then set them up with the nicotine level that's appropriate for them, and we find the correct flavor, and that's all that it takes.
How do people find your stores?
They can find us on the internet, of course, freedomsmokeusa.com. We have a toll-free number, 800-705-7013. Word of mouth is really good for our company, bringing people into our stores.
And it's kosher.
That's correct. Yep.
We'll talk next week.
Thank you.
If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, kvetch or kvel, please email us at twojewishradio18@gmail.com or visit our website at twojewishradio.com. You can hear all past and present shows by streaming them from our website or download us at the Apple iTunes Store's very popular Jewish podcasts. We have 15 more months to go until the election for President of these United States, but it's better to be early than late, and so we continue our special election year or so feature, the 2016 Too Jewish Presidential Report. We offer in-depth coverage, unusual features, and the finest opinion on the air as we choose the new leader for our nation. Lest you had begun to think that only Donald Trump could say something painfully, stupidly inappropriate among our presidential candidates in this field, Mike Huckabee came along and, well, trumped the bewigged wonder from New York. In a deeply unfortunate comparison, the former Arkansas governor and media figure said that President Obama is marching Israel to the door of the oven by agreeing to ease sanctions on Iran in exchange for new restraints on its nuclear program. While Huckabee, like the other Republican candidates for president, opposes the Iran deal and has impeccably pro-Israel credentials, his comments were not taken kindly by, well, anyone. After the firestorm of protest burst out, Huckabee said he initially didn't regret making the comparison, but admits there might have been a better metaphor to make. I think that maybe the metaphor is not a good one, Huckabee said. Maybe? It should be strictly used, but in this case it's absolutely appropriate because the Iranians are threatening the murder of millions of Jews. Huckabee is a regular visitor to Israel, has traveled several times to Auschwitz. He said that the Holocaust happened because people didn't take the threats seriously. Unfortunately, after his comment, they might not be taking Mike Huckabee too seriously either. That was our 2016 presidential election from a Jewish perspective update. Just 15 months left. Be still, my beating heart. We welcome our Mivi Non Israel, Oshrat Barel, head of the Weintraub Israel Center. Boker Tov, Oshrat.
Boker Tov, Rabbi.
So you were just in Israel. The Iran agreement is all over the news, and there are many points of view on it. Most of the organized Jewish community in America is opposed to it. Some is in support of it. But Israel seems to be unified against it. Can you talk about not only Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu, but all the other leaders, all the other parties that seem to be opposing it?
So as you said, I was in Israel, so in the time that the agreement was made, and all over the news and the Israeli channels and newspapers and all the people who gave their opinion about the agreement, the Israelis one, was against the agreement. From the left, not the far left, the center and the right, of course, was against the agreement, and the feeling was that Israel were left alone to deal with the Iran issue, and the only nations I would say that are standing and helping Israel are Saudi Arabia,
Jordan, all the moderate Arab states.
Joined Israel and
as we report on the radio show last week, Saudi Arabia opposes this agreement more than Israel does, I think. They're more worried about Iran than Israel is. Having said that and seeing, the heads of, Yair Lapid coming to lobby Congress and the head of the newly constituted, whatever they're calling the Labor Party these
Herzog.
Days. Herzog coming also. It seems strange to an American a little bit because I'll play devil's advocate without the agreement, everybody thinks Iran will have a nuclear warhead of some kind in 6 months. With the agreement, the people that have arranged the agreement are saying 2 to 3 years. Some people are saying only a year, but it's still longer. So I'm confused.
Me too, but what I'm thinking, I think what we're afraid of, because by strangers, okay, it's not from Israel, that Israel also have some capacity, right? But we never said that we want to wipe out Iran but Iran is really, really want to, that they are declaring that they want to wipe out Israel. So that's right. What makes it, oy vai voy. Even in 2-3 years, it's not like 20 years. 2-3 years, it's also, it's in a very near future.
Very near future. Question, you said it very nicely. Israel has some capacity. This is this policy of nuclear ambiguity that Israel has always cultivated. Do people in Israel really believe that Iran would send a nuclear warhead into Tel Aviv, knowing that the Israeli response would wipe out most of the cities of Iran? Do people believe that that's something the Iranian regime would do?
Yes.
Therein lies the heart of the matter. Oshrat, we'll talk next week.
Thank you.
We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rabbi.
And it's the 13th anniversary of the show. You have been around since the beginning, which makes this, our collective bar mitzvah or something here.
Wow. Hard to believe I've even been in Tucson that long.
It is.
Yes,
it
okay.
Is.
You're right.
So let's go a very long way from Tucson today. The Iran deal has been all over the news, but I don't think people really understand the country of Iran terribly well. And, maybe they remember Persian Empire or something, Alexander the Great, but I don't think people understand what a complex, large, diverse country it is.
Okay, and also, just a quick reference to something we said before, off mic, was that, as is the case with many of the current administration's initiatives, most people don't bother to read the fine print. So they have very strong opinions about the Iran deal, pro or con. They have no idea what it says. And since I don't either, I'm going to refrain from any comment.
I think that's wise. That I can't even make a yellow cake, let alone understand how it's enriched into uranium.
Right. But no, I mean, I think it's always best not to comment and not to take a strong position for or against something about which you know absolutely nothing. So,
but that would be so un-Jewish, Tom. I'm not sure.
Right. And apparently un-American these days, because everybody in the press and everybody in politics has a strong position for or against, but nobody can tell you what the fine print is. So let's leave that aside and just talk about Iran as a country. And even under the present regime, which is sort of monolithic and definitely extremist and fundamentalist, Iran is a very complicated and diverse country with a lot of minorities, both ethnic and religious. Fewer than may have been the case 50 years ago. Certainly fewer than before the Ayatollahs, because a lot of people have either left if they could leave or have sort of gone underground, people who don't fit the majority profile. But nonetheless, even under the Ayatollahs, until very recently, for example, to talk about one of the many minorities there. So there are a lot of Armenians in Iran. And Iran Air, the national airline, was once largely dominated by ethnic Armenians. Most of the pilots, if not also the flight attendants, and many of the technicians were Armenian. So the unofficial language of Iran Air was Armenian.
Wow.
To give one of many examples. Another example is that much of northwestern Iran, including the large city of Tabriz, is ethnically Azeri, the same people who live in Azerbaijan,
right,
and who speak, in fact, a language very similar to Turkish. So they're much more Turkic than they are Persian. So to think of Iranis as the same as Persians and to imagine that every Irani speaks Farsi as his or her mother tongue is just wrong, and it's a gross oversimplification. So in addition to those geographic neighbors of Armenia and Azerbaijan, both of which border Iran and both of which have large minority populations in Iran, there's also all the ethnic or religious subdivisions like Baha'i, Zoroastrian, Christian, and Jewish, many of which are ancient communities and historic presences in Iran who have certainly in the past, if not also in the future, played an important role, which we can look at more closely next week.
That makes sense. And, you know, I saw a statistic. There's still something like 30,000 Jews in Tehran and Iran in general. So we'll talk more about that next week. Thanks, Tom, and to another, I don't know, 13 more years?
I look forward to it.
When we come back on Too Jewish, we'll hear the old Jewish joke of the week for our Bar Mitzvah show.
When you're looking to buy or sell your home, you probably want Tucson's best realtor on your side. That realtor is Jill Rich. As real estate values change, it's comforting to know that Jill Rich knows Tucson's real estate landscape. She follows the trends. She knows the neighborhoods. She even knows how to help you find financing. But most importantly, Jill cares. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a starter home or a castle. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. For sellers, Jill will develop a personal marketing program that'll sell your house fast. There's no one who knows Tucson real estate better. You can reach Jill Rich at Long Realty's River and Campbell office. Call 349-0174. Jill Rich, providing strong representation in a caring way. Call 349-0174.
Is your aging loved one unhappy and having a hard time adjusting to life around them? The TMC Jarrow Psychiatric Center at Handmaker may be able to help. TMC Jarrow Psych specializes in providing short-term, inpatient services for older adults experiencing behavioral health issues. Did you know that most people with depression get better when they seek help? With the right treatment, those with anxiety can overcome and learn to cope with their fears, and individuals with dementia can continue leading quality lives. Our team, led by a geriatric psychiatrist, brings expertise from disciplines across a variety of specialties to ensure your loved one receives the right diagnosis and treatment. For more information about our services, please call 324-4600. The TMC Jarrow Psychiatric Center at Handmaker. Call 324-4600. Let's talk about how we can help.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
It's time now for our old Jewish joke of the week. Jewish humor your Bubby and Zadie knew, brought to you by Too Jewish as a public service. Frustrated by a wave of leaks about the Iran nuclear deal, Secretary of State John Kerry was very curious about how the Jewish people seemed to know everything before he did. So he called the FBI and asked them to figure it out. A week later, they came back and said, "Mr. Secretary Kerry, the Jews have something called Shabbos. They meet each other at the synagogue, and they use a code. They sit, they pray, and there's a word that's the key to this secret. The word is nu. When one says to another, nu, the other tells him everything, every bit of news in the world." Well, Secretary of State Kerry wanted to see this for himself. So the FBI dressed him up like a chassid, taught him to read from right to left in the sitter. Kerry came to the synagogue on Shabbos and sat down beside Izzy. He waited for a moment and said, "Nu?" And Izzy answered, "Shh, don't talk now. Kerry is coming." That was the old Jewish joke of the week, special feature of Too Jewish, just for you. You should live and be well. As a people, we Jews are good at many things, at kvetching, of course, at Lashon Hara, gossip, telling people things we shouldn't. We're also good at eating, and perhaps most importantly, we Jews are good at asking questions. Perhaps the greatest of all the Jewish questions is asked in this week's Torah portion of Akev, third Sedra, third Torah portion in the book of Deuteronomy. It reads, Ve'ata Yisrael ma Adonai shoel me'imach, which means, "Now, Israel, what does God ask of you?" The passage in Akev then answers this great question, that you have awe of the Lord your God, walk in all of God's ways and love God, and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. This big question, what does God ask of you? And our portion of Akev's answer began a series of statements in Jewish tradition, attempts to distill from our large moral storehouse just what the essence, the ikar of Jewish ethics really is. What is it that God wants? What is the true standard we need to uphold to be considered morally good? The section of Akev lists a few things we need to do for God's sake. First, revere God. Second, walk in God's ways. Third, love God. And fourth, serve God with all our hearts and souls. Fifth and finally, we're told that we must guard and do the mitzvot, the commandments of God. It's a clear, powerful list. Fear God, walk in God's ways, love God, serve God, follow commandments. 500 years later, the great prophet Isaiah distilled even these terse commands into a more concise version. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, he said. And then he listed, seek justice, relieve the oppressed, uphold the orphan's rights, take up the widow's cause. More pragmatic than the earlier texts, and even shorter. Isaiah says, look for justice. Relieve those who are oppressed. Fight for the underclass, the widows, the orphans. And of course, to start doing any of this, you must stop doing evil and learn to be good. That is, study so that you can properly know what goodness consists of. A century after Isaiah, the prophet Micah refined the formula again. He asked, what does God seek of you? Only to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Simple, clear, a beautiful formulation of ethics. Do justice. Love mercy, not domination. Walk humbly with God. Finally, Hillel, 400 years later, a great scholar, a little over 2,000 years ago, said it perhaps best and most concisely, do not do to others what is hateful to yourself. All the rest is commentary. Now, go and learn. Don't damage anyone. Never seek to destroy another human being, for you would never wish that upon yourself. Be sensitive, be decent. And, of course, learn Torah. Study ethics so that you may best know how to live to this standard. Of course, the assumption is that you will adopt one of these magnificent formulas, or all of them, but whichever one you choose, it is a high standard for how to live life. But it's one that we can each achieve if we choose to do so. After all, that's what God wants. So should we. When we return in a moment here on Too Jewish, on this 13th anniversary show, our guest, Yizhar Hess, will tell us just what has changed so dramatically in Israeli attitudes towards the conservative Masorati movement, and what it means for the future of Judaism in Israel, and maybe for the country itself. Find out when we return in a few moments here on Too Jewish.
Hi, Doris. How are you?
Well, Carol, to be honest, now that I'm a little older, I can't get out as much as I'd like. I miss seeing people.
Why don't you come over to my place for lunch on us? The food's delicious. So many choices. And I have a special table with my friends every day. They'd love to have you join us.
Is there much to do there?
There are lots of activities every day. Mondays is Mahjong. Tuesdays, I do yoga. Wednesdays, we go shopping or to the museum or a restaurant. Thursdays, my exercise class. There are book groups, speakers, Shabbos services, concerts, a game room. I'm busier than ever.
Where do you live?
I'm at Handmaker. And the people are great. Please come over for lunch. You'll love it. It's even kosher. Just call me at 322-7035.
Handmaker Jewish Services for the Aging offers the full spectrum of quality senior living and post-hospital rehabilitative care. Call 322-7035. Handmaker for life. 322-7035.
We continue with our Two Jewish update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
Big news, Jonathan Pollard will finally be released from American prison. And the fact that there is a new nuclear deal with Iran has nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing.
I see nothing. I know nothing.
Or maybe almost nothing. Convicted spy for Israel Jonathan Pollard has been granted parole and will finally be released from an American prison on November 21st, his lawyer announced last week. Pollard's release, exactly 30 years after his arrest, could help ease the tensions between the U.S. and Israel that have grown over the Iran nuclear deal, which President Barack Obama supports strongly, of course, and advocates, and Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu vehemently opposes. Netanyahu has long also sought Pollard's release, and the prospect has surfaced many times in discussions between the U.S. and Israel over the years. The White House says it won't challenge the granting of parole for Pollard, but it denied his release was in any way connected to the Iran deal.
I see nothing. I know nothing.
Mr. Pollard's status was determined by the U.S. Parole Commission according to standard procedures, and the Parole Commission's decision was in no way linked to foreign policy considerations, said National Security spokesman Alistair Baskey. Mr. Pollard will serve his sentence as mandated by statute for the very serious crimes he committed. The president has no intention of altering the terms of Mr. Pollard's parole.
I see nothing. I know nothing.
Okay, a very important question. Is the National Security Spokesman for the United States really named Alistair Baskey? Really? Alistair Baskey? And he's not a British cricket player or an old aristocratic snob? Anyway, both the Justice Department and Pollard's pro bono attorneys, Elliot Lauer and Jacques Semmelman, confirmed his release date this fall. Mr. Pollard is looking forward to being reunited with his beloved wife, Esther, his lawyers said. Mr. Pollard would like to thank the many thousands of well-wishers in the U.S. and Israel and throughout the world who provided grassroots support by attending rallies, sending letters, making phone calls to elected officials, and saying prayers for his welfare. He is deeply appreciative of every gesture, large or small. We look forward to seeing our client on the outside in less than 4 months, his lawyer said. Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu called Pollard's wife, Esther, last week. Throughout his time in prison, I consistently raised the issue of his release in my meetings and conversations with the leadership of successive U.S. administrations. We are looking forward to his release, Netanyahu said. Pollard, who is now 60 years old, worked as a Navy intelligence analyst in the Reagan years and passed on top secret U.S. government information to Israel, which had been cut off by the administration from access to matters it considered vital to its national security. Israel's government eventually admitted paying Pollard for the intelligence and granted him citizenship in 1995 and has lobbied for his release for decades. Pollard has served far longer than many spies who worked for enemy nations rather than for close allies, and whose treachery resulted in the death of a number of American agents, which was certainly not true for Jonathan Pollard. His information theft bolstered a close ally, and it resulted in no American deaths, but Pollard has been handled far more harshly than his clear treason deserved. You know, I'm sure the timing of the announcement of his release now has nothing to do with the Iranian nuclear deal or with trying to throw a PR bone to the Israelis. Nothing whatsoever.
I see nothing. I know nothing.
Right. Thank you, Schultz. Well, in any case, it will be good to see Jonathan Pollard finally released from American prison. In Toronto, a Canadian couple convicted of plotting to bomb the British Columbia legislature in Victoria wanted to infiltrate a synagogue and kill small Jews to save the children from going to hell, say court documents. Police notes presented in British Columbia's Supreme Court in Vancouver last week recounted Amanda Karate's husband, John Nuttall, telling an undercover officer that his wife thought she would be doing Jewish children a favor by sending them to paradise, since she believed grown-up Jews go to eternal hell when they die. Earlier this year, Nuttall and Karate were found guilty of plotting to detonate homemade pressure cooker bombs at the British Columbia legislature during crowded Canada Day celebrations 2 years ago. The couple, self-described Muslim converts, are back in court trying to have the verdict vacated due to police misconduct, they claim entrapment. You know, at the risk of stating the obvious, a guy named Nuttall certainly seems like a candidate to try to murder Jewish children to save them from hell. And I also must admit to a personal connection to this case. I was actually in Victoria, British Columbia on Canada Day 2 years ago when these special people plotted to blow up the legislative building, which we toured that same day. Creepy. And finally, James Franco may be 37 years old, but he's not a man yet by Jewish tradition. The popular actor never had a bar mitzvah. With the help of fellow Jewish actor Seth Rogen, that's about to change.
I don't have a ton of survival experience, I guess. I went to a Jewish summer camp.
Rogen and his wife Lauren Miller Rogen will throw Franco a bar mitzvah during their annual Hilarity for Charity variety show at the Hollywood Palladium in October. Ever since I've known James, he's been talking about wanting a bar mitzvah, Rogen said. The Rogans founded Hilarity for Charity 4 years ago to raise money and awareness about Alzheimer's disease. Lauren Miller Rogan's mother was diagnosed with it at age 55. Actors and comedians like Paul Rudd, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt have all performed in past shows. Tickets to the event, which Rogan said could include a moil and a live bris for James Franco, will go on sale August 11th. And that's the Two Jewish News of Jews Around the World. We welcome back to Two Jewish our very special guest, Yizhar Hess, the head of the Masorti Conservative Movement in Israel, and a guest commentator from the very beginning of Two Jewish, back in the long ago heydays, 13 years ago, when he was a shliach here in Tucson representing Israel. Yizhar, did you know anything about conservative Judaism before you became a shliach representing Israel in America?
Not much. My first significant experience was when I came to Tucson. We were a young family. We had our firstborn, Achiad, who just joined the IDF last week. And Yael and I arrived to Tucson. It was the summer of the year 2000. And we got to learn firsthand the fact that the Jewish community in North America had some Jewish options to offer that in Israel back then were not as common. And it was a true gilui, a true a new thing for me, not because I wasn't connected to my Jewish identity in a way. I'm a 10th generation Jerusalemite.
Yerushalmi,
but
yeah.
Because when we talked about the religious aspect of Judaism, we thought, you know, Orthodoxy is the one and only option. And seeing how vibrant Judaism can be and how accepting it can be and how it can function without coercion in a way that would treat men and women equally, that would find a place for people with disabilities, that would really be something that is way more natural to the the way most of us think, we felt that it was a good add to our lives. And the 3 years that we spent in Tucson were formulating and really built our Jewish identity with some other aspects than before. And we were both fortunate to come back to Israel and to experience it. And also we worked hard in order to make sure that more people are exposed to this experience, and we feel that it really makes Israel not only more Jewish but more democratic, something that we truly need now.
Something extraordinarily important, which, by the way, my only regret is you didn't go back to Israel's Reform Jews. That's my feeling. And
well, I do remember Rabbi Kabbalot Shabbat, Friday night services on your temple. It was wonderful.
Thank
I remember you,
you
and your father well. It was so meaningful for us.
So, and by the way, we started Mamuna. That was your fault that we started that here.
right. Oh, I forgot.
Bringing that to Tucson. There have been a number of important incidents involving the Masorti movement, some of them positive, some of them very painful. There's been a great program in conservative congregation of training, really a few different congregations coming together as one, to train those who are learning disabled for a bar bat mitzvah experience. There was a big controversy about that. Can you explain that? It involved Reuven Rivlin. It involved really the whole state of Israel in a way.
For the last 20 years, we have a unique program in the Masorti movement that is offering bar and bat mitzvah for children with disabilities. According to the Orthodox interpretation of halakha, of the Jewish law, these kids are not counted to the minyan, and they cannot be given an aliyah Torah on the day of their bar mitzvah, and we think differently. And according to our interpretation of halakha, it's not only doable, it's a needed and it's a true mitzvah. And these kids in Rehovot, we have it in all over Israel, the program, but in Rehovot we had a special class that were studying for almost half a year.
Right.
And a few days, it was a couple of days before the ceremony was scheduled to be, the mayor of Rehovot, that he has a Haredi background and ties to the
Ultra-Orthodox
party.
Background, right?
Yeah, ultra-Orthodox background, and he decided to cancel the ceremony because he didn't like the fact that it's being held in a conservative synagogue. It was a controversy that, you know, got to the media. We, of course, were furious. The parents were furious. The children were disappointed. It was children with heavy autism, so it's really any change in any program, it's difficult, not to mention something that was new to all of them. And in the middle of the crisis, there was an attempt from the president's house to bring some kind of a compromise, to have us all gather in the president's house and the synagogue there, and to have a ceremony conducted by two rabbis, a conservative rabbi and an Orthodox rabbi. And for some reason that, you know, it's complicated, and we decided to do peace. So for some reason it was canceled in the president's house as well. It wasn't easy. It was a big international dispute. We were really furious. And at the end of the day, the ceremony with these kids didn't work well for most of them, 10 of them. Nine out of the 10, they had they didn't have a bar mitzvah. They have some. They had some kind of a little celebration in Rehovot, not even on the day that you read the Torah, not as a bar mitzvah. It didn't end well. Just one of them had the proper bar mitzvah. But what it developed, that crisis, very sincere and frank dialogue with the president's house and the president himself. And last week, we had an historic event that for the first time in the history of the state of Israel, the president invited a reform rabbi, Rabbi Meir Azari of Beit Daniel in Tel Aviv,
right.
A conservative rabbi, Rabbi Chaya Rohn Becker, a woman rabbi, she's a Masorti rabbi who leads our Keilah, Masorti Keilah in French Hill in Jerusalem, an Orthodox rabbi, Rabbi Dr. Benny Lau, and a secular scholar to teach Torah in the president's house. Now, it may sound, okay, what's the big deal? But it's a big deal. It was for the first time to have rabbis from all streams teaching Torah at the president's house. It was something that I believe created a new discourse, not only with the president and his staff and the media, but also a discourse that from now on it would be obvious that officially there is more than one way to be Jewish, because Torah can be taught in, if not in 70 ways, at least in the ways of the number of people in the room and their beliefs. So it was something that was, in a way, a closure to the shameful incident with Bar Mitzvah. And I hope, you know, it's a true tikkun, it's a true fix.
True healing, a real fix, yeah. I hope so, too. And, you know, I should note, Meir Azari has been a guest of our radio show, a number of the others that were there. I think there was a great, I don't remember who said it, one of the teachers who said, look, we Jews know how to die together. Can we figure out how to live together?
Yes. Yeah.
It's
and you know, the one who opened the event there, Dr. Einat Vilf, who used to be a member of the Knesset, mm-hmm. He said, how do you define Jews? Jews are the only people who come to discuss together who is a Jew.
Nobody else has that difficulty. I want to thank Yisrael Hess for a great visit here on Two Jewish. Where can people go to find out more about the Masorti movement in Israel? What's the website?
It's www.masorti.org.
M-A-S-O-R-T-I, Masorti, which means really tradition or traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Yisrael, thanks so much, and thank you for being here on our 13th anniversary show as you were there at the very beginning.
Thank you, Rabbi, and enjoy the summer of Tucson.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Thanks, Yisrael. When we come back on Two Jewish, we'll get a final musical play out for this anniversary edition.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Two Jewish. For our 13th anniversary show with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan, join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. Our guest will be author Matt Reese, whose book The Ambassador is a kind of detective spy novel written with the late Israeli diplomat Yehuda Avner. Our playout this morning comes from our comedy archives, and a past guest of Two Jewish just 2 years ago today, one of our top 681 shows so far. It's Rick Moranis, his delightfully seedy song, Poo Poo Poo. My friends, may you be blessed with a Shavua Tov, a good week, and a week, we pray, of peace.
We ran into the Feldman's men, did they look great? Mindy graduated with a 3.8. Milty says they're just about to renovate. And don't tell anybody, but Debbie is late. Was indicted for insider trading. They moved the case to Delaware, they're sitting and waiting. Running up a legal tab, their hopes were fading. Then Murray and the judge's sister started dating. Like a superstition, for me it's just a logical position. I'm not claiming ominous premonitions, just historically informed intuition, an evolutionary predisposition. Careful, don't commit Lashanhara. Horrible disasters happen easily. Believe me, check the Torah.